Let's go into the one letter green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is stored with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening or this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do well to act on the instructions you have today, okay? Right? Don't allow believers' meetings to be a meeting where you just receive instructions that you don't act on. The reason for believers' meetings is for us to come together and certain things will be said by God's Spirit, right? You know, I've seen several people delivered from several things just by being in the believers' meeting. I was together, right? I've seen people avoiding certain routes just by being in the believers' meeting. Right, so ensure that you always have your writing material. One of the things you can always practice doing is with your phone, right? You can just record the session. Right, record the session. Let it be a private thing. Not the one you record the session. I'm going to start posting it on WhatsApp. Are we together? You put album mark behind it. I just know. Right, it's for your private consumption. Right, you listen to it over and over. Right, I have meetings from 7-8 years ago that I have on my laptop. I have meetings that I go back to every month. I work together, right? And if you check on my notepad, that doesn't mean you're going to look for my notepad, right? But I have a notepad that has a separate notepad for every instruction, every prophecy I've received in every meeting for almost 10 years now. And I go back to them and I read them. The ones that have been achieved, the ones that are now behind me, what do? I take them as complete, take them as done. The ones that are still there with great expectations, I keep viewing them that way. So that's the way you should approach believers' meeting. Right? Write things down. Okay? Learn that practice of writing things down. We're looking at the honor culture. Are we together? What does it mean to honor? What does honor? What definition did we give honor? Honor means to what? To regard or to treat something or someone with what? Admiration, regard, and respect. To treat as uncommon or to treat as sacred. Now, let me see this today. You know, a lot of times, as pastors, because of the expectations that people have of us, it sort of programs us to live a certain kind of life where we are scared for the sake of the people who we are leading, you know, to express certain things in our life or to say a part that is human about our lives. Are we together? Because more often than not, you hear testimonies of people who begin to go into dishonor because of certain traits or certain things they've seen in the lives of their pastor or pastors generally. You know, but the truth is that honor is not a thing that is expected for you to have towards something or someone because of how good they are or how, in quote, perfect they are. That does not mean that you should start living in imperfection because people should still honor you regardless. No, that's not the point. But there's a sense of expectation, you know, that, you know, people have for people who are in positions of leadership or authority. And so that when people hear certain things, that's why you see, if you see a believer steal from the office, and you see a pastor steal from the office, they carry different weight. Is that correct? Are they both wrong? They're both wrong. Are we together? Is there any category of people that stealing is okay for? No. I was together. But because of the world we find, and that's beautiful, you know, Bishop will say on Wednesday, the leader, the elder should be an example. You know, but let me say that honor is not something you give people because you see their perfection. In fact, more often than not, when you see God's vessels, right, and you see some imperfections in them, it's a time for you to up your honor game. Because the devil's playing a long game. Let me tell you for free. When you see somebody, for instance, a pastor, who walks in the flesh, and it becomes a public knowledge, right, the devil is not as much as after that pastor, as much as he's after you. Because there's every tendency for you to now pick that approach, pick that conduct, and approach that or apply that to your pastor. You know, there are some things you begin to do separately to your leader or your pastor because of something you've heard other pastors do. Somewhere in your mind, you just have a gauge of like, maybe all of them are really the same. I think they say everybody has their demon. Is that how some of them say? They say everybody has their demon. You know, but you realize that when it comes to honor, remember the man Moses, we've looked at Moses, was he a man of honor? Are we together? Right, Moses was a man of honor. Can someone point to me one trait that you know that Moses had that you say this was not a godly trait? Can you see how you all echoed anger? Right, what did God say you should speak to, I've already said the answer. What did God say you should do to the rock? What did he do? He should go for anger management classes. You know, these are pastors, they need therapy. You know, most are supposed to go for therapy class. They're supposed to unwind. Jesus said, Moses was angry to the point that someone upset him. Quickly, just gave him a den. It's not in your Bible. Oh, because of how I said it. Yeah, he just gave him a den. So such that he thought that nobody saw him. Next day, he started walking out on the street. I started, how are you? How are you? Everybody started running. Why are you running? He said, so that you do to us what you did to that brother. Don't worry. And what happened? That's what made Moses to run far. Are we together? Right? So, it's not an excuse for, you know, a man to stay in imperfection because people should. No, it's wrong. Because you should always strive and, you know, ensure that your daily life is trying to make you align yourself to what's expected of you in Christ Jesus. But you see, the fact that honor is something that is scriptural is something that a believer must engage in regardless of the scenario. You get the point, right? Regardless of the scenario. So it's very important. Now we've looked through scriptures that there are different people who should honor. Is that correct? Yes, sir. Give me an example of relationship you should honor. Servant master. Oh, servant master. Your boss in the office. Are we together? And those you are bosses too. Is that correct? Yeah, that means the way you speak to them is very important. Is that correct? Yeah, who again should you honor? Parents, children, right? Children, parents. Are we together, right? Children, honor your parents. Are we together, right? Yeah, you know, some of us, we have that practice of, you know, until you start parenting, you will know what it means to bring up a child. You know it's a big deal. Are we together? You know it's a big deal. Some of us don't have honor for our parents. Some of us just disregard our parents. The truth is that they were the people that God has put, or through God's system, they brought you into this world. Right? So keep that honor for your parents. Are we together? Keep that honor for your parents. Yeah, get gifts. Some of you, you know, there's nothing wrong in you having a time in your life, right? Consistently, maybe once or twice in a year, where you gift your parents things. Are we here? You should have that practice. I've done that for years. I told you, for instance, the first salary I earned in my life, are we together? I took the entire money to go and buy what? A bag for my mom. The first salary end. Are we together? That's honor. That's true honor. Are we together? And since then, right, there's been the consistency of giving gifts from time to time. Yeah? 2 times in a year, you can always decide to gift your parents. One, their birthday. 2, maybe Christmas. Or Easter is coming. Are we together? But it's such a godly thing to honor your parents. Let me tell you for free, your parents might be in the wrong. Right? I was speaking to someone last night until this morning. Right? And one of the things that he had mentioned was around parent and dad relationship and all of those things. And one of the things I said to him is, see, there are some times that you think you know better than your parents. Who has not been in that situation before? You've been there before where you think that, you know, but sometimes when life shows you small, a little taste of small pepper, you'll be like, so is this what my dad, my mom endured for my sake? Together. I'm not saying because they endure. Some of you are saying my parents not endure anything. I know they not endure. There's nothing they went through. But the truth is that it is through them that you came into this world. Have that sense of honor. Right? Don't be the one who your parents are calling you. Yes, you know some parents have entitlement mentality. We understand. There's always a wisdom to deal with it. Together. Right? But have that sense of regard. Your mom calls you. Your dad calls you. I give an example. Remember I told you a story. I gave a couple. Remember that story? I gave them an instruction to get a gift for their parents. Is that true? And what happened? And within a week, they didn't do it. Within a week, both parents went. Do you know that a lot of times you don't know the last breath of your parents, even the last breath of anybody around you? Are we together, right? Sometimes you don't even know. You just wonder, but I was just playing with him yesterday. I was playing with her yesterday, like, there are no more. That's why I put myself in a position with any relationship I deal with, that there's nobody who I hear passes to be with the Lord, and I feel and I wish I did better. Are you hearing me? Yes, altogether, there's nobody who I feel like something happened. And I'm not saying that my relationships are perfect, but I put a lot of effort in my relationships, right, of any kind, such that if I hear that this happens to this person tomorrow, I'm going to say, hey, I wish I was closer. No. I've always been like this for a while. But, you know, when my dad passed, one of the things I wish I did was I took lots of pictures with him before he passed. Because most of the pictures I have with him were when I'm now younger, when I was younger. So if you see me tomorrow, right, all of you know, if I come and visit you or you see me anywhere, small thing I brought phone, picture. You think I don't know what I'm doing? I know what I missed out by not doing that. I wish I did that every day in 2017. So if you see me go and say, picture, I know what I'm doing. All together. That's me intentional about relationships. So relationships are something you pay deliberate attention to. Altogether, you know, I always tell you, in every relationship, there are two doors. There is your door. there is my door. I've had people who have closed their door to me. Are we together? But there's no one who have closed my door to them. Are we together? It's intentional. That does not mean people don't offend, people don't hurt me. No, it's intentional. Are we together? I can keep listening stories and stories. There are those who have come back to the relationship and eventually they saw the door was open and they're riding on it. But the truth is that because of how life is, right? Life is very, what's the word I can use? It? Fickle. Is that the word? Fickle? Fickle or fickle? Fickle. Okay. Right? No, we didn't go to school. Right? So life is very life is very fickle and you don't even know what tomorrow is going to hold. Right? So honor relationships, value precious moments. And we're together. So we looked at relationship with parents, relationship, and even parents as well to children. Some of us now, our children are young for us, but the ones doing everything for them. A time will come when they become sensitive with the things of God and become believers. And God can use them to speak to you. Out together. You know, you should be able to train your home for in such a way that when your wife or your husband or your child speak to you, and say, Mommy, don't go out today. You know that he's not talking from, he just wants you to spend time with them at home. Are we together? Yeah? You'll be able to discern, like, oh, this is not my child just wanting me to stay at home. Yeah, not the one you're going to teach them every small thing, Mommy, don't go out today. Every day, Mommy, don't go out today. But you should be able to train them away enough to know, and also you are discerning to know. Honor for relationships. All together, right? Honor for people generally. Don't look down on people. No, it's not a Christian thing. It's not a Christian thing. It's not a Christian thing. Don't look down on people. Very, very important. In local church, don't gauge people because of how they look. No. You know, there are times where it is people unassuming that deliver people from dangerous things. Someone you just least expect will just give you one information and be like, ah, can anything good come out from Nazareth? And that's the good you need. Honor relationships. Value relationships. Yeah? And that thing again I want to speak about. I won't speak about it today, but learn to apologize and apologize well. Friends, you know, don't look at me. Learn to apologize and apologize well. It's part of honor in relationships. Both your spouse, your husband, your children. Some of you don't know how to say sorry to your children. Are we together? Right? The truth is there are times you say sorry to them, right? But there are times you need to give them, give it heart. Yeah? But you know you've done wrong. But because you are the mother figure or father figure, sorry is too heavy. You know, I see some videos of people how they apologize to themselves in their marriages. And they say some women, if you don't apologize to them, and they say, food is ready. Oh. And by saying food is ready, it means, I'm sorry. Which one is food is ready? Oh? What is food is ready? Oh? Is it ready or is not ready? Right? Eh? You do something to your wife, you do something to your husband. Learn to say, I am sorry. You know, there's a difference between sorry and I am sorry. And I am so sorry. Know when to use each of them. More often than not, you know, like I always tell you, there's a difference between thanks and thank you and thank you so much. Are we together? There's a difference. So, there's a difference. So, I won't lie to you. You know, I was telling you on Wednesday, that there's some things you do for some people. And the way they thank you, you'll be like, I wish I did more. I wish I could do more. Are we together? Right? Learn to be appreciative. Then say, if God could have used anybody. Somebody delivered you. Somebody gave you money to feed. You are saying, you that you are working in an NPC. I know your salary not in max, minimum 2 million. Minimum. And all you are giving me is 5,000. Each of 5,000 and you will not send it back home. I've not seen somebody send back the money. He say because the money is too small, just take it back. I've not seen somebody do. You will still collect it. You will still feed your hunger, right? And in feeding your hunger, you will still abuse and insult. How together? Learn to be appreciative. Say I'm an appreciative person. I gave all of you an assignment. I said you should reach out to people who have done well in your life. Is that correct? Lift your hand if you did it. People who have been impactful in your life. Lift your hands if you did it. Yeah? Lift your hands if you did it. People, I gave you an assignment. I said, people who you know are... What's the assignment? Oh, you remember the question? Okay, but you don't have the answer. What's the question?
You said, you need to appreciate the people
you impact in your life. Okay. Did I say past? Did I say present? Did I say... Okay, you can't say future. Oh, yeah. So, you know the question. Lift your hands if you were in church and you heard it and you did it. Eh? Is it, you did it after that call? Is it after that instruction? Is it, a habit? Habit, you never still do it. And it's a habit. And I gave you this example 4 weeks ago. Let me see the hands up. It wasn't last week ago. I gave Jesus, I said it 2 times in 2 different Sunday services here. Let me see your hand. Right? And how did they feel? If you are here that somebody here did it to you, lift your hands. If you are here, so there's nobody around you in God's palace. I see. So is it one person I said?
The way you put it.
Sister JT, just forget about your own is not in our category today. Yeah? I said, is it one person I said? But even it's not one person I said, but even when I say one person, can't there be many one persons? The one person is him. Right? Learn to be appreciative. Are we together? Yeah? Learn to appreciate people. Learn to thank people. Are we together? Yeah? All of you lift your hands. If you send a message to me, let me see your hand. No, not to greet me. Yeah. If you send a message to me, let me see your hand. Since I gave that instruction to thank somebody who is in power, let me see your hand. Not the one that's consistent. I said the one that you did on account. Who? Lift your hands well. Everybody is seeing everybody. So only Sister Abim. No, I'm saying you intentionally on account of what was taught, acted on it. Now I'm saying there's the practice that you do from time to time. Altogether. And I said, because on account of what I taught. So in the old church, only Sister Abim. Altogether, only Sister Abim. You know how we say it? That some of you have pastored you for 3 years, some of you 4 years, some of you 5 years, you've never even said Happy New Year to me. You've never even said Merry Christmas to me. I'm the one that still thank you for coming to church. That's not a good heart to have. And what I'm teaching you is not for what you are doing in God's palace alone. I'm together, right? You call me every Sunday, you call me every Wednesday, I'm shouting, I'm laboring, I'm sweating. And most of the people who I'm pastoring cannot even say thank you. Habba, it's not a good heart to have. It's not good. It's not godly. It's not godly. Like I said, it's not about where you are right now in gospel. It's not about me. Since you've not been saying thank you, I've not been preaching. Is there any day I stop preaching because they said he didn't thank me? No, now. I'll do what I have to do. Your pastor will do what he has to do. But some of us don't know how to even thank those who are laboring over them, but they're always very fast to know the wrong of people. All together. It's not a godly thing. It's not a good thing. So build that habit, build that culture, build that habit. Thank people who are impactful to your life. Are we together? Right? Let me tell you for free. I have dates in my calendars that remind me. I do it a lot of times periodically, but there are some times I have particular dates in my calendar to remind me. Are we together? Yeah? Very important. Now, we also look at some consequences of obedience and consequences of disobedience, right? There's something that one of you pointed my attention to in Numbers 12. Go to Numbers 12 quickly. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Are you there? Yeah. Now look at chapter 12. Let's quickly read from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Verse 2. And they said, had the Lord indeed only spoken by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three what? Came out. Verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and ye both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall be behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak again, my servant Moses? Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Look at verse 10. And the cloud departed from all the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron what? Said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Verse 12, Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of the mother's womb. Verse 13, And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. How many people got leprous? Are we together? How many people got leprous? When did you realize it was one? When did you realize it was one? Today? When did you realize it was one now? Is it today? You knew from time it was one. We didn't pay attention. When did you realize it was only Miriam that got leprosy? Is it just now you realize it? Right? Okay, you've known from time. Have I been saying they both got leprosy? Did you know that I was wrong? So you didn't pay attention to it. So when did you understand that leprosy was only one of them? It is now. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So I've been saying they. I just really say they. You don't pay attention to it. It was one of me that caught my attention to it. Right? And when you see those kind of things, I can always tell you, point my attention to it immediately. Right? It's a very honest mistake. Because from verse 1, you read a conversation of they both. Right? But when you now go down into what really happened, it was only Miriam that got leprous. So that's a mistake. Is that correct? So when you see, that's why when you are in church, open your eyes and read. Are we together? More often than not, when I talk about consequences of dishonor, I usually will say, they got leprosy. Do you understand? Yeah? I usually will say, oh, they both, you know, but eventually, it was just a very, what you call a silent fact, right, that can be missed out. Are you here? So I just thought to correct that this morning. So the person messaged me, I think, 2-3 days ago. Right? I thought to correct that this morning. It wasn't both of them that got leprosy. It was Miriam. You know, and if you read through the overall story generally, right, you'll find out that Aaron still had a sense of honor for Moses. Are we together? So Miriam was like the chief dishonorer. Are we together? Right? So I just thought to correct that. So we're looking at honor and giving materially. We saw on Wednesday, right, about giving. And we said giving is an art of honor. Go to Galatians 6, verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6. I want us to be a local church, like I would always say, a people of honor. And we're together, a people of honor. In our world today, people tend to be dishonorable more often than not. Are we together? Galatians 6, 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all what? Good things. Okay, who is he that is taught in the word? The believer. Right? Who is the believer to communicate to? To the pastor, the leader, the one that what? Teaches. Is he in scripture? Is he taught in scripture? Right? So, in all good things, what is that? Is that material things? Is it particular about prayer here? Is prayer inclusive here? Is prayer included here? Is Paul's emphasis here prayer? Are there scriptures where Paul will emphasize pray for us? Okay. That pray for us, does it cover all good things? When Paul says pray for us, what do? You pray for us. Okay. When Paul says you know good thing, why are you adding prayer there? No, answer now. Why is prayer there? Because we like to hide behind the scene of prayer. Are we together? Yeah? First of all, is the best. As virtue has gone out of you, we pray, Lord, that God will replenish your virtue. Right? Paul said, now, prayer can be counted as a good thing. But I'm saying there are other scriptures you can use for praying for your pastor. But what Paul is teaching here is things material. Are we together? Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in what? All good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall he reap flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit shall in the spirit what? Reap life everlasting. So what is Paul teaching here? That they were to contribute to the upkeep and the taking care of their pastor. Are you here? They were to contribute to the upkeep, to the taking care of their pastor. Did people do that to Jesus as well? We saw that on Wednesday, right? Yeah, people gave to Jesus. You know, it was people that gave Jesus boats to preach. Is that correct? People gave Jesus donkey to use. Is that correct? Yeah, people gave materially. Now, let me show you what Paul's argument in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul creates an argument for pastors. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. He says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things." Verse 7. "Have I committed an offense in abasing?" Are you following? "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" Look at verse 8. "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service." So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, "I was laboring over you as Corinthians, and other churches were the people feeding me." Are we here? Are we here? Paul is saying, "I was shouting night and day." Is that it? You know, that's the story of a lot of pastors today. You know, I would tell you, right? Where the person who is laboring over your life, you don't think that they are worthy of certain things. Together, but you rather somebody who is popular. That's no honor giving. That's not honor. That's actually dishonor to your pastor, number one, right? And politicking. You want you to use your funds to get access into people's life. So a man who is laboring over your life. So you see, when you hear me talk about people give other pastors more than they give their local church pastor, it's not a Joshua Yesu thing. It's a Bible thing that Paul addressed. I want to get that. So Paul is saying, "I'm doing service to you, and people responsible for my upkeep are even those who are not in the local church." Look at it again. It says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel for God freely?" That means he didn't charge them. Should a minister charge? Should a minister charge? I know we've abused the word minister in our world. I'm talking about a minister in the world. Should a minister, a preacher of the gospel, charge? Should the people that the minister is ministering to know to take care of the person that is preaching? Yes, sir. Beautiful. So you see, let me just scatter everything right now. So you see the argument people have been having. Music ministers should be charging. The problem is that if everybody stays in their local church, that argument will not be popular. Are you with me? Hey, gospel ministers, you know, they are charging this. That the devil has just shifted our attention. What are you charging for? What are you singing? I've not found that people who are that, from people who we call, to the point that we now even have what we call A-list ministers. A-list. Are we together? Right? Then they come. You know the problem? A lot of us as pastors, we are the ones that are doing the bad thing. We are trying to use them to grow our church. We are trying to use them to put our name of our church on the map. That's the problem. What is wrong in Sister B, my sister, told me, listen to a song of any singer, come and minister to us here. What you say, the one Sister B did not really... Do you understand? Like, it should not be... If every believer stays in their local church, there's no need for gospel minister. Are we together? So it's a... So why is the pastors complaining that gospel ministers are charging more? We're the ones that made them to charge. Listen, the people who are deserving of honor in scriptures are not the singers, are not the toilet washers, are not the ushers, are not the keyboardists. It's wrong to pay a keyboardist money in the church for playing keyboard in the church. If your church has a lot of administration, are we together, and you require that keyboardist to do some admin work for the church, and you pay him as a staff different. You require a drummer to do an admin stuff for the church, you pay him as a staff different. But that you are playing drum in the church. We didn't use drum today, is that correct? We didn't, minister. No, we didn't sing now. We didn't have a proper believers meeting. We didn't edify ourselves. That's the problem. When we think that we can't have church without some fundamentals, who gave us that? Yeah? So we now have A-list gospel singers. We now have A-list churches. And we're not ashamed to say it. Altogether, the Bible teaches. You know, I heard somebody making a very ridiculous argument. Equating the music minister to the Levites. Levites. Was Moses singing? Say Aaron. He was going around with microphone and was singing. He said, you know, the music minister like the Levitical order. And you know the way they were saying it, I was like, how did we get to this point? Every music minister should stay in their church. Are we together? Are we here? You know, we've tried together as a church. Even some people that are saying, we don't charge. It's a lie. We reached out to them, they didn't come. That's what he's saying. We don't charge you. I spoke about this in details to leaders a few weeks ago. That's not true. They have charges. Everybody should stay in their church. Be a blessing to us through your MP3. That's why the pastor was complaining. Listen to what he said, though. He said he reached out to a minister, and the minister charged them $80,000. And when he heard the figure, he said, don't worry, stay in your church, we'll play your cassette. So he could not play the cassette before. Why did you hear the amount before you knew your MP3 player was working? Do you understand? He said, $80,000. And the question is, and it's not a joke. People are charging thousands of dollars to come and sing in a meeting. People will remove their clothes. Why would they dance when they know how much they pay the man? The pastor there, if he look back and nobody's dancing, he has to flog you. Do you know what we gave this man to come here? So it should not be an argument. No, nothing like gospel ministry. Nothing like gospel musician. You want to, there are lots of things in music you can do to earn money. Are we together? There are lots of things in this life I do to earn money. Is that correct? Eh? If anybody should put a charge and say the church should pay, it's the pastor. But when we start having someone, and it's just lingering, the reason I'm talking is now so that you now stand as a church. So tomorrow, you know, someone will come out there and say, pastor, there's this reigning man. When he comes with the presence. You come and give us the presence. And we're together. You know, I was telling you on Sunday, right? We want to build a church where our keyboarders can finish playing the keyboard and come here and preach if I'm not around. You finish playing the bass guitar and pastor say, I have to quickly step out. And pastor will say, please come and take over. But our musicians, what are they today when they finish singing? In fact, I know people who play instruments from church to church on Sunday. We've paid them before. Never again. I'm saying it's a recording so that you record it. So that next time, if anything happens to me and I'm not around again, you remember that that's what we are standing for as a church. And they will come. They will tell us they are only around from 8:15 to 9:35. And they will finish playing for... And what is 9:35? Either you are singing or not. They just drop the keyboard. I'm saying that happened to us. There's a brother called Easy Praise. I don't know if he's still doing ministry. Well, I want to do VG that time. My dad will invite him. My dad is like 20 years ago. He will come, he will sing, he will let loose. Everybody will scatter. When he finishes, very young, small man like this, let's go to the back and hide under one canopy. And he will just be sleeping till the service finishes, till offering time. If there's no keyboard, can't we have church? If there's no drum, can't we have church? That's why sometimes you see the anointing falls when there are strings. That's a monumentum. You know that there are some people, when they come to a place, if there's no piano on the strings, they can't flow. Why? Because piano has a way of entering your heart. Why don't you carry the move of the Holy Ghost such that you don't need an instrumentalist? Not every time you need minstrel to go ahead. Can't you go there and be your minstrel and minister God's power? Have I tackled it now? Is it clear now? No argument? Verse 7 says, have I committed an offense in abusing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you gospel freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. Verse 9, let's you together, 1, 2, 3, go. When I was present with you and wanted, I was charitable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied it. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I will keep myself. What is Paul teaching? The people he was laboring over, people that were feeding him. Imagine, for instance, we're hosting a pastor. And the pastor comes and labors over our life for 1 year. And he's preaching. Right? And the people that are feeding him are not the people he's preaching to. But people from another local church. That's what Paul is addressing. Paul is saying, even when I had dear needs, I didn't ask any of you. Such that I lived my life in a way that people that were meeting my needs were those in other churches. That's what he's prayed in Philippians. My God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. Why? Because they reached out to him materially. We look at that on Wednesday, is that correct? Look at verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting of the regions of Asia. Verse 11, wherefore, because I love you not, God know it. So Paul is bringing correction. Verse 12 now says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from that which desires occasion, that wearing the glory, they may what? Be found even as we. So Paul brings correction to the church in Corinth about their conduct in treating him. So is there a way that you treat your pastor? Is there an expectation of the way you treat your pastor? Is it the pastor that tells you how to treat him? Who should teach you how to treat him? Who should teach you how to treat your pastor? Who should train you how to teach your pastor? How to treat your pastor? Ha. Okay, the pastor. I want private jet tomorrow. That's how I feel I'll be honored. It has to be the word. Okay, pastor from the word. What I'm trying to say is, okay, let me ask the question differently. Can pastor come out of the blues? You know, there's a pastor friend of mine who was fighting me. Oh, no, he wasn't fighting me, sorry. He was fighting with his church members. Why? Imagine they did a birthday for him. They surprised him with a birthday. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. They did a birthday celebration for him. He didn't know. Just like Novotel, they rented another room, right? And he walked into the room. They decorated everything. They bought a gift for him and everything. No, they didn't buy gifts, but they did decoration. They didn't buy gifts, but they did all the game and the experience of his life. So he came in and balloons everywhere. People were gathered. Surprise! Now they do surprise. So when he finished, he kept looking and wondering, where is the gift? Listen to me carefully. Right? And he now eventually did not get a gift. Meanwhile, the people had ordered something for him, but it hadn't delivered. So look at what I'm telling you is because I heard two sides of the story. The pastor told me his own. The people that organized it told me their own on separate occasion. So I merged it. I'm in the middle. All together. So, but the gift had not come. I think where the other different was going to take like 2 or 3 days delivery. Right? And after they don't know the supply, he called them together. I said, this is what I heard he said. I wasn't there. He said, members of that church bought so and so vehicle for their pastor. And you are doing balloon. Wow. Now, mind you, the person who I heard this other side of the story to is already hot. So in my heart, Pepe. In my heart, Pepe to the story when he's telling me. But what I just got from that story was that he began to tell them that this is how this other church treated me. All together. Now, if you want car as a pastor, you know that when the Bible teaches about honor, the congregants are the ones that determine the kind of givings that will be given. There's a place you will go to, and people that are there can give you a private jet. But you cannot know where you are and be expecting people who should buy you Audi juice. And be expect. No, I'm not talking about people who are. I'm talking about people who go out of their way. I remember somebody reached out to me five, 6 months ago, and he told me that God asked him to buy a MacBook for me. Right? And I said, oh, beautiful. I told my wife, because we were just talking about buying a MacBook. And I said, okay, beautiful. That's beautiful. Bless you and everything. This was 6 months ago. This is April. So six, 7 months ago. Right? Waited for 1 month. I'd not seen Mark. Talk more of book. Waited for another month. Right? And I couldn't be depending on the gift from somebody who said I blessed them to gift my wife. What did I do? I stayed in my room. I sampled my wife's idea on the kind of MacBook she wanted. And this is that she didn't know. Right? And when it was her birthday on the 2nd of March, I bought the MacBook for her and I gave it to her as a gift. Let me tell you for free. Today the Mac has not come. I've not seen the book. Listen to what I'm showing you today. I'm saying if my taste board is high, I should quench my taste board with my finances. Not wait for when you can do it. Are you with me? Are you with me? So if I can do without a MacBook in my home. The reason why I even bought it for her was because her own MacBook, she gave it to the church. All together. Till today, I've not seen the Mac or the book. Maybe because Nora, I can change this one and give it to the church. But are you learning something? Imagine I got upset. I said, God said you should give me one. Where is it? No. So imagine I say, you see, people in that church, they gave their pastor a car. Look at what people are giving me. They are giving me balloon. Balloon. No. So what am I saying? I'm saying what Paul will be expecting the Corinthians to do would be to satisfy his needs, not his wants. Are you here? That is why his prayer is that my God shall supply all your needs, not your wants, because wants are insatiable. Everybody here wants something. In fact, some of us, if your partner gives you birthday gift, you will say, oh, thank you. But your mind is, you say, I wish. Meanwhile, you're the one that your partner was asking you, what do you want for your birthday? You say, anything is fine. You're looking at yourself. Anything is fine. No, I'm not really a materialistic person. Okay, you that's not materialistic. The boss thing left for you and boxer. You are upset. Are we together? So the foundational things will be in scripture. I'll be talking about the needs. So for instance, what would Paul expect the Corinthians to do for him on the minimum? Gifts from time to time, feed him, get a house for him to stay. So is the expectation for them to have a roof over their pastor's head? Is it expected that they should at least see their pastor has a roof over his head? Is it Paul to ask them, I need 7-bedroom mansion? I want you to put by the left, basketball by the right. Do you understand? You see, if we understand, if Paul wants a 7-bedroom house with swimming pool and mansion, what should he do? He should go and take more shifts. Is that correct? He should go and do more shifts and make money to build a house to his taste. This is where the problem lies. Is there anything wrong in the church giving their pastor 7-bedroom? What do they think? They think their pastor is deserving of that. That's why, let me tell you, as a church, never put your mouth in saying that these people are doing too much for their pastor. You are not the one that knows what the pastor is doing for them. And this morning, they would have given the poor they would have fed the poor with 700 bags of rice. No. They decide to honor their pastor. It is godly. Are we together? Right? So Paul will say that I've taken from others. So Paul corrected, he rebuked them. That what? You need to change your conduct. Right? So there's such a thing called a pastor teaching and rebuking when what is done is not right. Example, when people are not appreciative of giving. So I started today's talking now, talking about who appreciated their pastor. Is that correct? I'm doing it the same way it's done in scriptures. You know, I understand there are some things that need to be said, and that's why I'm saying it. But you know, you should not be told, right, that from time to time, you should have a practice of appreciating one who is shouting and laboring over your life in the gospel. Altogether, you should have that practice. You should have that heart. You don't have to be told certain things. Altogether, you don't have to be told certain things. Have that practice. Are you learning? Are you growing? You know, but for some people, there's people who have left this church today. I've never gotten a thank you message from them. The only message I've gotten from them is the one they want to use to insult me. Altogether, I'm saying by default, an average person is selfish. But don't be a selfish person. As well, in a service, who benefits the most in a Sunday service? It's you. Am I benefiting anything? I'm not. That's the truth. I'm the one standing here. The only thing I partake with is singing and praying. But for the longest time in our service, what is done in our service? Teaching. I teach for an hour, 30 minutes averagely on a service day. Right? So who is benefiting? It is you that is benefiting. That's why I go for specific meetings to get myself to benefit as well. Because if a pastor leaves his head in the hands of his member, he might not be something that will be something to write home about. Are we here? You get the point. It's a joke, definitely. So you should have that practice. Have that attitude. Are we together? Right? Somebody decides to appreciate their pastor in a certain way online. Right? And you say, but this, something should be done privately. Do you know? Do you know the bed of death that the pastor has come to rescue them from? Do you know those details? So the examples you see, what you do is to emulate. You use them to gauge yourself. How far away are you from expressing a life and a sense of honor to those who are laboring over you? Don't forget, God's gift to men is the gift of men. Write that in your notes. God's gift to men will be the gift of men. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. First Corinthians 9:9. Are you there? Look at 1 Corinthians 9:9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not what? muzzle the mouth of the ox that treaded out the corn. Look at what Paul now says. Does God take care of oxen? Is that a question? Look up. Is that rhetorical? Look at verse 10. Or said he, it's all together for our sakes. So he's saying that, is that scripture talking about ox? Is that correct? Yeah? So what is Paul saying? Is this not a way of scripture talking about our sakes? Look at this. For our sakes, no doubt. This is written. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, that he that treasureth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. What is he trying to say? The ox that treads out the corn should be able to eat from the corn. Is that what Paul is teaching? Altogether. Right? So Paul is making a defense and saying, a man who preaches the word or the gospel, right, is permitted to live off the gospel. Listen to me carefully. Do you understand what Jesus told his disciples when he said, when you go out, take nothing with you? Remember that teaching? He says, when you go out for evangelism, what should you do? Don't go, don't think of where you will sleep, where you eat. He says, for where you go to, they should take care of you. That means the Bible, Jesus, Moses, Paul, expects that a man that feeds and this is how the gospel should feed from it. He says, don't take your laptop. Don't think of tent. He says, that's why he says, anywhere you go to and they reject you, dust your feet and leave the place. Are we together? He says, so it means that there should be a practice of the one who is threshing out the corn to feed of it. So Paul says, he says, if we have sown, verse 11, let's go together, 1, 2, 3, go. I want everybody to be here. Verse 1 Corinthians 9, 11, 1, 2, 3, go. If we have sown, 1, 2, 3, go, 1, 2, 3, go. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it great if we shall reap ye carnal things? What is that? If we preach to you spiritual things, what is your response back to the one who preached spiritual things? What is carnal? Material. Let him that is taught the word communicate. Is that second scripture that we're seeing? Let he that is taught the word communicate. Okay, look at verse 12. If others the partaker of this power over you, and not we rather, nevertheless, we have not used this power. Are you here? Paul is saying, we can say, listen to me. If a pastor comes and says, I'm not going to walk in my life, right? You all take care of the pastor. And he teaches from scripture. Is he in the right? No. Yes. Let me ask the question again. If a pastor wakes up tomorrow and says, I'm not going to be walking, no. Right? The Bible teaches that the saints will take care of the pastor who is preaching spiritual things. Is he in the right? Is rightly wrong or wrongly right? Partially. There's a partiality. Why do you think it's partial? Okay. The doctrine that is coming out. So I'm using it to gauge you people so I know when I'll say I'm not working again. I will know who is here for me. Let me ask the question clearly so that we know we are straight. If a pastor, not me, a pastor comes and says he's not going to, that he doesn't have time to work because he has to do lots of church ministry things, right? Is the church expected to take care of him?
Yes.
Beautiful. That's the answer to the question. Understand? Now, the other part you are debating is if the pastor should say it or not. Let's leave that one aside. And we'll get there. Right? So, Paul is teaching that he says, I have fed you spiritual things. He says, if others are partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So, Paul is saying he will not go to a place to preach because they don't have money to pay him. Are we ready? Paul is saying he will not stop taking care of laboring in the world over the saints because they're not giving him anything. So, regardless of what you give your pastor or not, the pastor is to know that he must not allow the gospel to be hindered. Altogether. The pastor must know he must not allow. So look at verse 14. He said, look at verse 13 rather. He says, do we not know that they which minister about holy things? Are you here? Leave off the things of the temple. You see the problem I have with a lot of us, particularly we younger ministers, so to say. Look at the problem I usually have. There's nothing wrong, right, in teaching God's word that the saints should take care of you as a pastor. But the problem is that you are imposing your selfish lifestyle on the innocent people who you are discipling. What I just said right now is what I've said before. Is that correct? Right? If you give me a house, and in the house, maybe you patch the roof. Once the rain starts falling, I have to stay in this side so that I'll put buckets under there. Have you given me a house? If that's the best your contribution could get, is that a house? If I'm not happy there, what should I do? I should go and get another house that my money can solve for. It's not hard. Your pastor does a birthday. You buy him shoe, right? And the shoe was from EY Souls, right? And he sees the shoe and he says the sole is thick. What option does he have? He should go get to work money so that if he wants to wear clerks, he can afford it. Are you with me? Right? Let me ask another question. If a minister goes to a place to preach and they say they don't have money to give to him, are we together? What should he do? No. I didn't pre-inform him more. They've told him ahead, though, sir, when you come, we will do 5 days prayer on your head. We will pray for you. Your ministry will grow. But don't have money. What should he do? If he can afford it. Why? Because the gospel must not be hindered. A brother came to our church 4 or 5 years ago. He had followed us online on Instagram. Right? He said he had followed us for about a year. Right? So he was a pastor, for those of you who know Abuja world, Kokrada is like outside of Abuja. So he reached out to me and he said he wants to come and be a blessing to his people. I was together. And I said, oh, beautiful. Where's your church? Right? So I spoke to one of my leaders then. And I said, help me follow up with him so you can get details and help us organize the dates. So I think I gave him a date to go. Now, I took my car. I drove my protocol. Yeah? Right? I drove about three leaders thereabouts, and we all went together to the place. You see, where I went to, if I was driving in manual, you know that kind of road where if you're driving manual and you're not good with what biting points, your car will just be reversing. Like here. You know that kind of thing when you get to the road, you'll be saying, no, this is not the road. You'll be saying, this is not the road. And, you know, we now call the brother. We now say, we see this. I said, he said, be coming. We know that this car is not Tundra. And we got there, right? A couple people were there, right? In fact, I was using torch to preach that night. I used the headlamp on my phone. That's how bright the room was. I used the torchlight on my phone to preach. And I preached for probably 1 hour, 30 minutes. The minister got power, everything. And I finished from there, right? And they gave us maybe Martina or something. Right? And everything they gave me, I gave the food that went with me. I think I even took them out for lunch to go and eat something. I was together. They didn't give me 1 kobo. But I was satisfied in the fact that I could go there and be a blessing to them. The church invited me to preach somewhere in Abuja as well. Right? A friend's father. Right? And I went there. I think you were there. You were not there. Right? Okay. Went to like 2 cars, went there, pumped the place, you know, and everything. I still have the video on my iPad, you know. It was 2018, August. Now, when the man I finished preaching for maybe 2 days, or I can't remember, 2 days or 3 days, or 3 days. He had packaged an envelope for me, right? And he gave me the envelope as honorarium. He was big. So I didn't know. He had passed it to one of his PAs to give it to me. I was about to drive off. And right there on the spot, I think when I said this to the leader, the pastor, Timmy, that was there, confirmed that. And right there on the spot, as soon as I got it, I packed the car, stopped every car that was with me, and I came down. They did an announcement. And I went back to the church, right? Because they were trying to build this church. I went back to the church, and in front of everyone, while they were doing an announcement, I went to go to the man, and like I said, my friend's dad. And I knelt down in front of him. I said, pray with me. And I said, I'm giving this money to the church to support the growth of the church. Are we here? Are we here? He said, no. I don't know what was in that envelope, but I'm sure it was hundreds of thousands. Altogether, it could have been more. It could have been less. I didn't bother to say, let me first count it. This one will do this. I gave it back to him in front of everybody, and he took it for me in front of the church. That's all I required there. Altogether. Now, why did I do that? I'm not saying tomorrow, if I go to a place where I see that they're using LED screen times 10, and the himself, I'll say, no, I saw a need that they had in that church. Are you with me? Why could I do that? Because I was earning a living. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, if I'm invited somewhere to go and preach, I remember I was invited to my former school, Babylon University, to preach 2018. are together, right? And beautiful privilege. My transport to the place and my transport back, I took care of my driver. Let me ask you a question. Were they supposed to give me something? They did give something. Took care of me, gave me food and gave me a hotel. Were they supposed to do something? Yes, it's their responsibility. But I must ensure I'm not going there. What am I saying to you? There are some so-called people who cannot come to your church when you are less than 20. The first person they ask you is, show me pictures of what your church looks like. Are we together? Pastor Onyeka, who is coming here, you know it's a rare privilege. For someone who pastors people in their tens of thousands around the globe. And he has never for once asked, are we three? He doesn't even know if it's only me and my wife that are here. And he accepted our invitation. Listen to what he did as well. I know he will not want to say this. He told me that his flight to the country will be taken care of him by himself. So you see the example I'm following. Does that now mean because he flew here, we will not now honor him and give him sufficient honorarium to honor him? No. He knows that the gospel will not be hindered. Are we together? That's what Paul is saying. So if the pastor knows that regardless of what he's giving or not, and the members know that no matter what they must give, there will be peace in the world. Are we here? Paul now says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things leave up the things of the temple? Are we together? And they which wait at the altar, they are what? Partakers with the altar. Look at verse 41 to 3, go. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Is it doctrinal? Yes. So when you see a pastor talking about how those that live of the gospel should live of the gospel, they are teaching scriptures. My problem is, what I remember I heard a story of a man, right, who he told his members that this is the shoe size. I want a shoe for my birthday. He says, this is the shoe size I want, and this is the company I want the shoe from. That's ten, 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 ten. You know that song? You are doing past yourself. That is over the bar. Are we together? That's what I was telling you on Wednesday. There's nothing too small to give to your pastor. And there is nothing too big to give to your pastor. Your pastor will know and should know that to take care of his family is his responsibility. I'll just give an example, right? If my wife says she wants something, I should come and say, my wife's birthday is approaching. Right? And because if you minister to my wife, you minister to me. She wants laptop. Don't tell anybody. No, I didn't need to do that. The person who said God asked him to give me a laptop, I didn't instruct him. He said God. And because of that God, he said, that's why I'm still waiting for it. But I'm saying, even if, let's say life became hard for him, he had to sell it. Can it not happen? Life can become tight now. This laptop said, let me use this money and do some more so that when I increase more. But I'm saying that your heart of giving, right, to take care of your pastor is biblical. And don't think because your pastor, for instance, is not, like I said, don't think your pastor is not deserving of certain gifts. How together? Don't think like that. That's dishonorable. Look at Acts 20, verse 33, quickly. Let's see examples of the pastor, of pastors who are working and laboring. Acts 20. Are you together? Acts 20, 33, 35. Are you here? Look at verse 19. Acts 20, 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by laying the weight of the Jew. Look at verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly from where? Are you here? From house to house, I've taught you publicly. What did he say again? Testifying both to the Jew, right? And also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not what? Knowing the things that shall what? Before me there. Verse 23. 1 to 3, go. Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bounds and affliction abide me. 24. But none of these things move me. Neither can't I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching to the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Are you with us? 28, 1 to 3, go. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to your flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which had purchased, which has been blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after many departing, verse 29 together, 1 to 3, go. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter into the amongst you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also of you, your own self, shall men arise, speaking preserved things, to draw away disciples after them. 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with what? Tears. So was Paul warning them? Night and day with what? Tears. 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. So what is Paul teaching? You know, Bible teaches that covetousness is not good. Is that correct? So Paul is teaching, I have coveted no man. That means Paul, you know, I will say this too. I will say, tell you who I will say it to. But there's some things as a pastor, you can't afford to say I like on people's body. Because some people don't know how to say no. And some people will just feel like you're liking it means you want it. Are you here? Right? Sometimes people play with it on their members and they blackmail them. Ah, this is a wristwatch. It's fine. No. So they say it today. You move on. You are not moved. Ah, is it that wristwatch of that day? It's so pretty. Ah, this is your car. Ah. God also bless all of us together. You see, there are some things you don't say. That's part of covetousness. As a pastor, you should be able to boldly say, like Paul would say, I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Like you say, there is a lifestyle that you are living as a pastor that you boldly say is not because I'm feeding off of you. It's not because I've coerced you. Altogether. So if a pastor, if a church member comes together and say, oh, pastor has been so tired, blah, 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 blah. Let's give pastor a holiday trip to go and rest. Okay? If church can afford economy class, but pastor only fries private class, what should he do? When he see the ticket, he see 32B. You know what 32B by default means? You are at the back of the plane. There's no plane that starts counting 32 from the front and one back one. See, at 32, I can't believe this church members will give me economy class. No. It's not. It's the design of the plane. I was just thinking of something in my mind. I saw a comedian say something. He said, "Madam, what is your suit number? Suit number is 42B. Why do you enter the plane and looking from the top to see if 42 is there? You're supposed to first walk 10 meters. they start looking for where 42 is. Right? So I'm trying to say that there's a thing called covetousness that can slip in very innocently. Altogether, can slip in very innocently. Ah, this your phone is beautiful. I said the phone pastor is using. What they might be trying to say is they need you to balance that phone. Altogether. That's why for me, growing up, right, even my wife to tomorrow struggles to find out what she can get me for a gift. Because I grew up in a home where we didn't even have the privilege of saying, what do you want for Christmas? If they bring it to you, you will not take it or you will take it. And everything that was brought home, we appreciated with all sense of regard. Altogether, right? It's something I've trained myself to do particularly. As a pastor, there's a research I was wearing, you know. And the truth is that in my mind, I was feeling promptings to give him that wristwatch. Do you understand? So, trust me, it was one of my dad's wristwatch. It was expensive, proper thousands of pounds, one wristwatch. So he looked at me, and I saw that as I was talking, he kept looking into my hand. Right? Now, he's a friend of mine, very blessed. I'm not saying he was covetous about it. Right? As a friend, he should tell me he likes something. I was saying, okay, thank you. But like I said, I already had promptings to give it to him. So I said, MJ, this is your wristwatch, it's heavy. As soon as I finished, he came around, he was praying, we just finished praying everything. As soon as I went in his car, followed him to his car, removed the wristwatch and gave him as a gift. I'm talking about proper thousands of pounds, over 10,000 pounds as a gift. Now, that began to make me realize the need not to say certain things amongst people, especially if you have influence over their lives. I'm gonna, in my house there's no rice. So, what are we going to eat? Just imagine I just finish the rice. What are we going to have for lunch? I'm now start calling sister saying, is there rice at home? You now know there's no rice in pastor's house. Yeah, so I should buy when I'm coming. The reason I'm saying this, it sounds funny, but I'm saying there are people who do that and they are not innocent. If you are a person who does that, you can't boldly say what Paul is saying here. He says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. Look at 34. Ye yourselves know that this hand, are you with me? Ye yourselves know that what? These hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that are with me. Are you with me? What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that if you see a lifestyle with me, are we together? It is that I've used my hands to minister that lifestyle for me and my family. A friend of mine came to my house and I was shocked. And I was like, so you leave this, what you do this? I was like, so why don't you do content creation pastor? You know what content creation pastor is? Right? When as soon as I come out from my bedroom, I hold my suit like this and I walk down, there's camera waiting. As soon as I'm coming down, I'm putting the staircase down, there's camera capturing. So I enter the car. I hope you're going to be in church today. Be in church. See you there. Cheers. And enter their car. And when the camera goes under the tire, it starts showing the tire rolling. I'm trying to say, right? You know, there are some things you have as a pastor. You need to ensure you don't rub it in the face of people. It's not necessary. I'm like, you're supposed to be doing content creation with all these people. Someone saw me flying one day, right? And when he walked past me, he looked at me and was like, It's like he told it to my face. He said, but how come you don't post pictures about this? One thing you must know is anywhere you see me sit in the plane, I'm not saying I sit anywhere in the plane. Anywhere you see me sit, it is not from my covetousness in ministry. My wife says she wants this. It's not from trying to come and put you under pressure. Altogether. Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that my hands have ministered unto my necessities. I was together. And to them that were with me. Look at what 35, 1, 2, 3, go. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to what? Are we in gospel? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 35, 1, 2, 3, go. I've showed you all things that how God's palace, I'm not hearing some voices. Let's together, 1, 2, 3, go. I've showed you all things that how you are so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to know the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Are we together? So was Paul a handyman? Was Paul a project manager? Was he a business analyst? He had something he was doing outside the church. So if you see Minister Paul walk in certain ways, you see Mr. Paul buys a certain kind of watch, a certain kind of, or smells in a certain way. Are we together? Right? He can confidently say, I have coveted no man's silver. That should be the confidence a pastor should be able to make. Are we together? He says, I have worked with my hands. Let's see an example of what Paul did. Look at Acts 18. Let's look at a few examples of some men and what they did. Acts 18, verse 1 to 3. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. And because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. Look at verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were what? So was Paul a lawyer? Paul was not a lawyer. Let people stop disturbing you. All together. Paul was a what? A tent maker. Say Paul. Was it, you know what they call tent maker? Someone that builds. You know, what today, what do you call them? Builder, or what you can call them? No, I think the bricklayer. Oh, it doesn't sound good. That's why you put pastors under pressure. Instead of pastors to be able to go and do bricklayer work in peace and come and preach to you in peace, you've already put a stigma on bricklaying. No. How can pastor be carrying cement? When you go through the property, pastor is building, you look through the other side. And pastor say, I know my disciple. Pastor, what are you doing here? Because you put pressure on pastor, pastor saying, I just came here to supervise. He's the one carrying block. Say, I just came here to supervise. I just wanted to see what the boys were doing. So pastor, why are you dressed like this? You know, you have to be like them to look like them to win them. What am I saying? There is no job. See, any job anybody does that is legitimate, don't laugh at it. There's no point abusing people. Let me tell you, not everybody will be a manager. Are we here? Not everybody will be a data analyst altogether. And say, really, no, I can't sell in audio. So just imagine I'm selling in audio now. So my crush come to me. And that's what pushes people to steal. No, I can't do. One of my friends was talking to me a few months ago. He said, I can do anything in this world. He said, I can do anything in this life, but not care. He said it to me today, it's scary. When life pushes to the world, he started caring. I can do in this UK. I've come to, he told me this thing 2 years ago. In this UK, I've come to, there's no, I can do anything. No, but you see, that care. See, me and care, we are far apart. Now he's caring. He's using care to take care of his family. Are you with me? There's no point. Okay, you are doing care. And what? Why uniform with pride and go around? First of all, you are doing care. Your uniform in the care place. When you finish, you change to suit. You carry briefcase. You can't. Is that working? Who? What? Why are people deceiving you? You wear uniform. You finish, but you wear suit. You wear tie. You finish from shift. Though you wear tie. You can't carry back. Everything like this. What are you talking about? I'm just going for a proposal down there. Why? Paul was a tent maker and deal with it. Look at what. Listen to what I just said. Though Paul went to a city. What was his goal in that city? To preach the gospel. Bible says that he looked for people that were of the same craft with him. And he said, Jesus has taught us that anywhere we go to, they should provide house for us to sleep. But Paul said, in my looking for where to sleep, I'm going to look for someone who has the same technicality with me. So my yardstick to choose where I will stay will be based on what can we do together so that I can feed himself. So was Paul a tent maker? Look at Mark 6, verse 3. This one will shock you too. Some of us, we've not come to this fact. But look at Mark 6. Are you here? Are you learning something today? I know you should be learning a lot. Mark 6, verse 3. But when thou dost... Oh no, Mark, sorry, I'm sorry, Martin. I was wondering, that's not what I'm supposed to read. Are you Mark 6? Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Is not this the carpenter? So was Jesus a carpenter's son? Was he also a carpenter? So Jesus was a carpenter. Some of us, we only like to go to the Matthew's version that says the carpenter's son. Jesus was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. Jesus was not just the son of a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Who is a carpenter? Is carpentry not similar to tent making? You know, in our world today, we say, no, that's not exotic. Carpenter is someone that uses it to mesh wood. Is that what it is? What did Jesus find himself doing? He was a carpenter. Are we together? Look at John 21. So, dear believer, let me say to you, right? Anything it takes you that is legal. Did you hear that emphasis? Legal. No go and now buy any laptop and be using Indian voice and be duping people on their credit card. Anything that is legal. Don't be ashamed of your profession. Don't be ashamed of your profession. Let me tell you for free. When I came to this UK, right, and when I came back 2 years ago before we started church, right, the truth is, we didn't even have a venue. Well, sorry, I didn't have a job when we decided to start church. Are you here? I came here in July. As at August, I didn't have a job. My wife and I had already decided, right, that we're going to start in September. We started using this place September 25th, 2022. I didn't have a job. I had a little savings. And I knew the savings I had, the savings we had, could take us at least for a period of time. Altogether, when I stayed in the house, I looked around, and I realized, why am I staying in the house waiting for a job when I'm supposed to be a minister of the gospel? What happened? I went to go and enroll where they pack plate. Have you seen a pack plate before? Eh? You've not seen me? You can't see me. Because you were not there when I was doing it. I was together, right? And I wear my, they make you wear your white and black. With your shoe that is pointed like this, you'll be walking. And I went there, and I went. So my particular reason for going there to work was not necessarily to feed myself. Let me tell you, when we started church, myself and my wife put out thousands of pounds to everything you see here today. My wife and I bought them before I got a job, before I started working in the UK, before we started church. Are you with me? Right? So I now decided that the best and easiest place to reach out to people to preach is doing shifts. Are we here? And I started picking shifts. Are you with me?
Right?
Say, there's nothing you should feel as too big.
Okay?
You are doing hotel receptionist. And so, you want to eat and you don't want to eat. Right? What I'm saying to you is that I didn't necessarily need that job to feed. But I'm saying my mind is not programmed in such a way that there are some things I cannot do. Are you with me? It's not programmed that way. What is it? It's not legal. Okay, you carry plate. Yes, when we used to do that, you carry plate like this. You look at the man like this. You now start like this. Now you can see. You now be running like we did those things. Yeah? Yes, sir. You've heard me talk about somebody who fainted at work and I laid hands on. You've heard me talk about that. Is he not doing shift? Where else will I do power of God? Don't ever think there's anything that is too big for you to do. Jesus the carpenter. Look at fisherman. Look at John 21. Are you there? Verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go what? I'm fishing. And what happened? They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught what? Nothing. One question you must find there is, who were they before Jesus met them? The fishermen. Did the Bible teach that to follow Jesus you must abandon all? Does the Bible teach that to follow Jesus you must abandon all? Are you talking about Bible word? Bible word abandon all. But what Jesus saying, neglect all. All together. So Jesus, who was a preacher, will be seen as a carpenter. Don't forget, in Mark 6, where he was acknowledged as a carpenter, was just before he went to go and heal the sick. You know, that's the scripture that you see that Jesus went and he says, there was no, a prophet is without honor in his hometown. So that means he was doing ministry as a carpenter. This is John 21. This is towards the end of the, you know, the physical life of Jesus on the earth. Are we together? Bible says that they went and fishing. So did they abandon fishery because they followed Jesus? No. So what did Jesus teach you when he says you have to leave all to follow him? Priority. All together. It is Jesus before every other thing. It's Jesus before every other thing. Look at Mark. You know, it was in Mark 10 that he said, we've left all to follow you. Right? Yes, you see them as fishermen. Look at Mark 1:16. The world is changing. You see, and don't allow the world to put you under unnecessary pressure. You lose your job, what do? You find another job. Altogether. If you lose your job and you know you have bills to pay, are you here? Right? What do? You look for what we sustain. And some of us, we are always looking for what we... I saw somebody a few days ago, right? Okay, you lost your job. Okay, what's the next thing? And you say, and I ask, what kind of roles are you applying for? You know, and I said, oh, I applied for, you know, senior manager and all those kind of things. I'm like, you've not even collected your certificate from school. Are you here? You're not supposed to be pumping your CV into all the restaurants in your city. Do you understand? Right, you should be able to, it's because people don't know these things we are saying or want to admit these things we are saying. That's why they get themselves into unnecessary pressure. It's not necessary. Are we together? If somebody is mocking what you are doing, are they paying your bills for you? You know, people that know how to mock, they have nothing to even show for it. Somebody who labors in life, right, and he knows what it takes to be where they are, will not mock somebody doing something. But you know, the only reason most people that mock are people that always live in a life of hope. They just feel like, I hope my life will be better tomorrow. So this what you are doing right now is a no-no. I told you. No. YBG, I cannot do care. No. I care me. And he's scared him today. And you know what I told him that day? I said, listen to me carefully. I wish you the best and I hope that you get something that will make you excited as a good job and good career. But it is worse if you allow life to push you to care. Are you here? That's what I told him. I said, it is worse. It's better you make up your mind with your chest and go and carry shit than for you. The home office is chasing you. I say, anything now. Then you jump into it. That one, you've killed your moral, you've killed your pressure, you've killed your honor, you've killed everything. So why can't you start? So do something. I'm proud about it. Paul was a tent maker. Jesus the carpenter. Fisherman. All together. Peter. Look at Mark 1 verse 16. Mark 1:16, are you there? Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brothers, were casting their nets into the sea, for they were what? Fishermen. So, who were they? They were business partners, is that correct? Right? And Jesus said to them, come here after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Straight away, he forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, then he saw James Zebedee, John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. Verse 20, and straight away he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship and with their hired servants, and they went after him. So, they were business partners. Altogether, they were business partners. So Jesus met them as partners. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 10. Luke 5, 4, and 10. Luke 5, 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nest for the draught. Verse 10 now says, and so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt what? Catch me. That's similar story we just read. So, is it wrong for a pastor to say he wants to be the richest person in the world? It's not wrong. But how must he not be the richest person in the world? Through the believers and through the people that are what God has committed into his hands. So, can you have a career outside ministry? You know, one of the things people struggle to do is to be successfully doing well career-wise and still serve Jesus. That's why Peter will say, we elders should be examples. You know, there's nothing here I can ask any of you to do that we expect any of you to do, but I'm not doing that more. Are you with me? There's nothing here. What is it? You're working from 9 to 7 to 6. I work 9 to 6. Are we together? What exactly is it? So, when you see your pastor doing these things, it is to show you an example of what can be possible. Are we together? It shows you an example of what can be possible. It's nothing. Are we together? My calendars, more often than not, is usually, I'm saying, Jan, I told you I was in a meeting up until early this morning. Usually jam-packed, very jam-packed, very full. There's nothing. And I'll still come to church before most of you. All together. Thank God for, you know, some of you are hearing the word right now. Beautiful, it's good. So all of you come early now. That's beautiful. But if I tell you to come early to church, you don't have an excuse. What happened? What is your excuse? If I say come for Wednesday service, what's your excuse? You're not the one preaching. You just come and listen. The one who is preaching just finished work. What is your excuse? What's your excuse? You see how rigorous I give myself to labor. You see how rigorous I, you know, ensure that, you know, so I'm a family man, I'm a career man, I'm also a minister of the gospel. That means you can be a minister of the gospel. Altogether, you know, I found out that in the new place I moved to right now, you know, coming out of the house, you know, to go and go for outreaches is usually something that, you know, I'll need to plan. What do I now do? I used to now extend my grocery shopping time. Are we together? You know, if you can give an excuse for anything. The day my wife gave birth to my child, was I not here to preach? What is the excuse? It's not an excuse. It's a different thing if they said, it's my blood. They are going to come and sustain our life in that room. But you see, I'm saying there are certain things you can go out of your way to do. You can do well in career. Are we together? If you message me privately, I will show you the breakdown of the feedback and comments I've received in the last years everywhere I've worked. Everywhere. I will send it to you for free. I'm saying they don't tell me I'm lazy at work. And they now find out, because he's a pastor. No. I'm exceptionally, crisply exceptional at work. Are you with me? So you can actually have a good career and actually have a good family and actually have a good ministry. Nothing suffers for it. So today we are going for evangelism. Is that correct? What should be your excuse? N-O-T-I-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Why do we ensure we go for evangelism at least once a month as a church? Because some of you, if we don't go that once, you will never go in your Christian life. What I'm saying to you is that you might it's not limited to you. Everybody can always give an excuse. I told of a pastor who has been planting church for about 30 years, and he said he has never stopped someone on the road to preach because he's a church planter that has never preached before. What is he planting? Altogether. And you find out that he has planted churches successfully around the world. How? Coffee, snack, cooking. You don't know if we serve food after church every Sunday. Give us 1 month. We'll start third service. Not second. Third service. Altogether. Right? But I'm saying that there are certain things you must program your mind to be at that you can excel at career. Start your work on Monday. Do well at work. Be honorable. Don't thief. Don't steal. Don't put the name of the Lord in shame. Some of you, it's because of how bad you are at work. That's why you cannot even have the mouth to tell your manager, I have church on Wednesday. Everybody knows. You can, once it's 4 o'clock on Wednesday, there's nothing as important. It can wait till Thursday morning.
But the only way I can say that is because I have a track record. Are we together? There's a track record. I told you one day, one of my CEO asked me to come and visit, come and help them move some things and do some work on Sunday morning. Me, Sunday morning. It's not possible. I told him on the phone straight away, if you like, sack me that day. How will souls be waiting for me in church? And I say, I'm going for shift. I'm going for work. You know, I say, Pastor, how is the, this is today? No, man, this is my CEO. No, man, I try to manage what? That's together. That is what Jesus teaches as putting priority for ministry. Are we here? So there's nothing. So if you give me an excuse and it feels like it doesn't sit well with me, it's not sitting well with me because you can't say I don't relate. No, you can't say it. You can't say it. I know what I do. I know what I do. Trust me. For every time you see me standing for 2 hours, there's nothing less than 5 to 6 plus hours. Plus hours. Nothing. Some of you don't even open your Bible. I remember I heard of the story of a woman, a pastor who they invited into his church and they invited him to their house for dinner. So they had given them one special spoon. I don't know how fictional the story. But the pastor now put the golden spoon in one of their Bibles, right? And now left it on the shelf, right? And, you know, they were now asking questions about how does the story even go? I think, so when he now left, they said pastor stole their spoon. So I think it was months after, they now had the confidence to confront pastor. I said, Pastor, you stole our phone in the house. What happened? He said, I didn't steal your spoon. I said, I kept it in the middle of your Bible. That's to show you never opened the Bible to read. I know it can be fictional, I understand. Because the person can come and say, I have another Bible. Or I use e-Bible. But I'm saying some of us don't even know how to open our Bible outside Sunday service. Some of us don't even know how to preach the gospel to your colleague. How together? Yeah, have that. So the pastor knows to labor. Is that correct? The believers know to labor. Is that correct? Next week I'm going to teach about something, right? A lot of times we see the propaganda of people talking about how the money that is given to the pastor should be given to the poor. And you find that in scripture that while the teaching of giving to the poor is doctrinal, when it comes to pastor, it is called double honor. My dad will always say, don't give the money for the window in the church to a widow. What is he trying to say? Don't say, because, oh, pastor seems to be doing well, let's now channel this to poor. To not give to a man who is laboring over you is to be in disobedience to the scripture. Altogether, like I said on Wednesday, there's nothing that is too big to give. There's nothing that is what? Too small to give. I'll close in 1 Timothy chapter 5 this morning as we close today. 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know, when you look around and actually pay attention, you realize there are people who are actually doing well in life, in career, and they're exceptionally, brilliantly doing well in ministry. Altogether. Yeah, that's what I always tell you. Make sure you define your friendship with people. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let the elder that rules well be counted. Are we together? 1, 2, 3, go. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who what? Labor in the word and in doctrine. Verse 18, 1, 2, 3, go. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. The laborer is what? Worthy of his reward. So what is expected for the man who labors over you? He calls it what? Double honor. All together. You can take that double honor as literal as it sounds. It's double honor. Now, who are those that he's considering? Is it those that labor in what? In word and what? Is it those that sing? Is it those that play keyboard? Those that play drums? Those that wash the toilet? Are those things good in local church? What are they? They are called service. But on account of ministry, that's what Paul is talking about. The one who labors in. So like I told you earlier on, learn to build that culture of being appreciative. I will get that. Learn to build that culture. So you see, as a church, why am I saying these things? As a church, as a pastor, I need to even first start teaching how to say thank you. I will get that. Before we now start teaching how to give. Are both scriptural? Yeah? Can you do well in both? You can. Should you do well in both? Say from today, I will act well. Say from today, I will do well. I will act well. That's what I always tell you. Don't put yourself in a position of trying to, you know, explain things that way and just say, no. And, you know, a lot of times, it's possible that who you think is your pastor does not need what you think you are given. But that's a gross assumption. Why should you still give? It is because it is expected of you doctrinally. Like I said on Wednesday, you can't claim to honor and honor your leader who labors in, over you in word and doctrine, right, and not have an appreciative heart. Altogether, thank you for all you do. It's not too big. It should not be too heavy to come out from your mouth. Are we together? Yeah, it should not be too heavy to come out from your mouth. Please, what I'm teaching is you do the word. And like I always say, take whatever you are learning from gospelers to anywhere you are in the world. That's God's word. You're just privileged. I'm just privileged to be the one saying it today. But it's God's word. Are we together? Right? I was telling the leader something. There was a brother like that in church at the time. Right? You know, almost every month or consistently, you know, anything he just had, he would just send 500 naira credit to my phone. He would just send 1,000 naira credit. Oh, Pastor, thank you so much for what you do. You know, he would just, and he would do that consistently. And I said to the leaders, I said, there was no time he sent 500 naira or 200 naira, even sometimes 200 naira credit to me. There's no time he sent that to my account that I didn't have anything less than 10,000 naira credit in my phone. But can you see, this is 5 years, 6 years down the line. Just like the woman who gives sacrificial in scripture, and Bible records that forever it will be spoken about. Like I said, givers, people that appreciate, always mean a lot to who? Their pastor.